Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Mackie, and I'll be reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. More legal problems for ex-ADA Petty. Woman files federal lawsuit alleging dual role as ADA law clerk violated due process, by Stuart Doreen. A lawsuit in federal court has been filed against Midland County and former Midland County Assistant District Attorney Ralph Petty and former District Attorney Al Shore for alleged deprivation of rights under the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The suit, by Irma Wilson, is another legal issue following Petty's employment as an assistant district attorney and as a law clerk for Midland County District Judges. Wilson was found guilty of possession of a controlled substance, crack cocaine, in a trial more than 2 decades ago. She alleges that then District Judge John Hyde denied her motions before, during, and after her trial in 2001, including motions to suppress evidence. Working for Hyde, according to the lawsuit, was Petty, advising them on legal matters and drafting the judge's orders and opinions. For nearly 20 years, Petty served as several judges' right-hand advisor, engaging in ex parte communications and repetitiously drafting opinions and orders in the prosecution's favor in more than 300 cases, the lawsuit states. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals in September tossed a capital murder conviction and granted a new trial for Clinton Lee Young, a death row inmate convicted by a Midland County jury in 2003. The appeals court overturned Young's conviction because of the same revelation that Petty helped prosecute Young as an assistant district attorney and then moonlighted as a judicial clerk in the same trial. The lawsuit references the Young's case, stating Mr. Young's federal and state due process rights were violated by both the trial court's use of prosecutor Ralph Petty's services as a paid law clerk during Mr. Young's trial, and the prosecution's withholding of that arrangement. Like Mr. Young, Irma was a victim of Petty's conflict of interest. The lawsuit states, if Irma had known about Petty's involvement as a law clerk in her case, she would have requested Judge Hyde's recusal and a new trial. The lawsuit also states that Midland County adopted and enforced an official employment policy or custom of permitting a prosecutor to work as a law clerk to judges in cases he was also prosecuting and in cases in which his employer was a party. It mentioned Petty's arrangement as a law clerk and ADA was signed off on by former County Treasurer Joanne Carr, County Attorney Russell Malm, and Shore. With Midland County's policymakers' knowledge and consent, Petty worked as a law clerk in Irma's trial while also working for the district attorney's office and, on information and belief, advising on the prosecution of her case, the lawsuit states. This dual role violated due process by depriving Irma of a criminal proceeding free from either actual or perceived bias. The lawsuit states that the defendants, the county, Petty and Shore, caused harm to Wilson, including preventing her from pursuing a career in her chosen profession of nursing, inhibited her ability to obtain gainful employment, and forced her to spend money on attorney fees and court costs related to her defense. It also said her quality of life and pursuit of happiness were harmed, especially living with a felony record. It also harmed her access to justice, harmed her family life, harmed her faith in the criminal justice system, and harmed her reputation. The lawsuit also states Wilson seeks attorney fees, other legal costs, and other relief as the court may deem just and proper. EIA's outlook reflects markets' ambiguity. Forecasts show prices could be anywhere from $62 to $152 in July, by Mella McEwen. Efforts by the U.S. Energy Information Administration to provide an energy forecast have not been immune to the turmoil caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. In issuing its April short-term energy outlook, the agency cautioned that its forecasts remain highly uncertain and it would continue monitoring market dynamics in the energy sector, publishing updated information as it more fully understands what it called the evolving situation. It reflects the uncertainty in the market at present, economist Ray Perryman told the Reporter Telegram by email. That uncertainty results not only from the conflict in Ukraine, but production decisions by members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allied Nations and the rate at which U.S. producers increase drilling activity. With West Texas Intermediate approximately $100 a barrel at present, the EIA forecasts prices will average $98.27 in June, with the price band ranging from $69.49 to $139.10. That falls to an average $97.27 in July, with the forecast ranging from a low of $62.02 to a high of $152.57. At the end of the year, the forecast is for an average of $92.22, ranging from as low as $47.47 to as high as $179.16. In 2023, the mid-year price average is forecast to be $87.59, with the price expectation from as low as $41.45 to as high as $185.10 a barrel. At the end of 2023, EIA expects prices to average $84.22, with the low end of expectations $37.39 a barrel and the high end $189.70 a barrel. I expect prices to be in more narrow range, but there are potential outcomes that could bring $60 or $130, although I don't think either of those would persist for an extended period, Perryman wrote. I expect strong production, although a lot will depend on access to capital and general policy approaches that are not detrimental to large-scale investments. In the EIA's forecast, domestic production averages 12 million barrels a day this year, up 800,000 barrels a day from last year. U.S. production is expected to grow another 900,000 barrels a day in 2023 to average almost 13 million barrels a day, surpassing the previous record annual average of 12.3 million barrels a day set in 2019. Continued pain at the pump was in the forecast, as the EIA expects the average price of gasoline and of diesel will be the highest since the summer of 2014. Retail gasoline is forecast to average $3.84 per gallon from April through September, up from $3.06 last summer. Diesel prices are expected to average $4.57 during the summer. The Labor Department said Tuesday its consumer price index jumped 8.5% in March, the highest increase in over 40 years. Gasoline prices have rocketed 48% in the last 12 months and are flowing through the cost of everything from transportation to food. While today's overall inflation numbers are concerning, the energy numbers, 32% overall, 48% for gasoline, are particularly alarming. These energy price spikes are felt by every American family, as energy is foundational for our economy and quality of life. Ann Bradbury, Chief Executive Officer of the American Exploration and Production Council, said in a statement, "The Biden administration should pursue policies to alleviate high energy prices, restarting federal leases, unlocking permits, supporting needed pipelines infrastructure, and collaborating with the oil and natural gas industry. Inflation writ large can't be fixed without addressing energy inflation first." Small Bites by J.C. Lewis. Make your Easter brunch plans for this weekend. Thriving United will host a free Easter brunch at Midland's Longest Table on Sunday at 100 North Colorado Street. The brunch will be served at 1 p.m. Brunch is free, but event organizers reported that all tickets have been handed out. Tickets can be reserved at thrivingunit.org/event/Easter Brunch at Midland's Longest Table. Easter Sunday Brunch at Beryl and Derek. The event will have a photo opportunity with the Easter Bunny, coloring activities for children, and featured brunch items. Price is $38 for adults and $21 for kids. For reservations, call 432-653-5803. Easter Extravaganza from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at Ranchland Hills Golf Club. The event will include egg hunts, games, cookie decorating, crafts, kids' buffet, and the Easter Bunny on Saturday. The Easter Extravaganza is $24.99 for kids and $15 for adults' buffet. The Sunday buffet will be $14.95 for kids and $32.95 for adults. Reservations can be made at events@ranchlandhills.com. Sunday brunch will feature beef Wellington, citrus salmon, stuffed pork loin, honey ham, roasted Parmesan red potatoes, baked mac and cheese, mashed potato with brown gravy, roasted Brussels sprouts, oven-roasted broccoli, seasonal fruit salad, mini quiche, chicken and waffles, crab cakes, pancakes, chicken poblano penne pasta, friend fish, and shrimp, maple bourbon bacon, Caesar salad, strawberry spinach salad, and a dessert station. There will also be a Bloody Mary and mimosa bar. Murray's Tailgate will be open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday. Check out the Tailgate social media pages for more events this weekend. Ally Village Butter will be open from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for brunch on Sunday. Wall Street Bar and Grill will be open from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. for brunch on Sunday. Dickie's Barbecue Pit is offering dine-in, carry-out, curbside, or contactless delivery of several big yellow box options on Sunday to feed the family. Boxes include pulled pork party pack, classic sandwich party pack, original party pack, wings and ribs party pack, and Texas brisket party pack. The Bites. The Shack in the Back will open for the season on Wednesday. Call 432-349-3857 to reserve tables. 75-cent Dairy Queen chocolate dipped cones are making a comeback for the restaurant's 7th anniversary in Texas. A small cone will be 75 cents through April 24th. Fans can enjoy a small cone or small classic dipped cone with a crunchy chocolate coating. Rockhound's Ballpark Brews will feature more than 20 local craft beers from around the state under the lights on the field at Momentum Bank Ballpark. The event will be from 6 to 9 p.m. on April 23rd. The Micro Market will host a bar crawl from 5 p.m. to midnight on May 6th. Participating bars include Lost Books, Buffalo Nickel, The Blue Door, Pi Social, Tall City Brewing Company, The Rusty Bucket, Eccentric Brewing, Sip House, Bourbon Street, The Reserve, and Buffalo Joe's. Wristbands are $20 pre-order or $30 at the door. Visit eventbrite.com/e/Midland Texas Bar Crawl Tick. 314-873-574-337 to purchase. Midland Athletic Company has announced the closing of the Wellness Bar to expand the company with services including physical therapy, stretch therapy, run club, and nutritional coaching. Obituaries. Patricia Lou Deckert, 1932 to 2022. A celebration of the life of Patricia Lou Decker will be held at 10 a.m. on April 14, 2022, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel in Midland, Texas. Kelly Wisdom will officiate the service. Patricia was born December 31, 1932, to Warren and Ina Morgan in Mount Sterling, Illinois. She died at her home in Gardendale, Texas, on April 7, 2022. She had seven children, Deborah Elizondo and Donna Hoffman of Gardendale, Texas, David Lone Star Dave, Nancy Decker of Stanton, Texas, Diane Charles Bauckham of Las Cruces, New Mexico, Darlene Roger Hahn of Odessa, Texas, Mona Abels of Lakewood, Colorado, and Michelle Abel of Odessa, Texas. In addition to her children, Pat left behind 26 grandchildren, 40 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. Pat was preceded in death by her beloved husband, Donald Decker, her parents, Warren and Ina Morgan, her sister, Mona Lee Blay, and her husband, Lowell Blay, her sister-in-law, Laura Morgan, and her brother, Kenneth Morgan, her brother, Warren Tanny Morgan of North Fork, California, and sister-in-law Jacqueline Morgan of Carson City, Nevada, survives her. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests donations be made to the West Texas Food Bank in her memory. Wilma Rogers. Wilma Rogers passed away on Sunday, April 10, 2022, at the age of 81 after a brief illness. She was born in Hermley, Texas, to Ted and Otis Palmer on April 12, 1940. Wilma was preceded in death by 2 brothers, Lee Palmer and Donald Palmer, and 2 sisters, Maureen Chandler and Judy Dempsey. Also preceding her in death was her daughter, Glenda Rogers, and 2 great-grandchildren, Caden Ann Pitts and Christian Glenn Pitts. Survivors include her sons, Richard Pitts and Dennis Pitts of Midland, and her daughters, Dana Henderson and Linda Garcia of Midland. She is also survived by 2 grandchildren. Survivors also include 10 grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren, 1 great-great-grandchild, as well as 1 on the way, and a brother, Kenneth Palmer of Snyder. At her request, she will be cremated and her ashes will be buried next to her daughter in Snyder, and at that time the family will have a memorial service. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to Pipkin at nts/online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellenGarciaPipkinFH.com. Death Notices. Fernando Perchez. Fernando Hinostroza Perchez, 48, of Midland, passed away Monday, April 11, 2022. Viewing will be Wednesday, April 13, 2022, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. A funeral mass has been set for Thursday, April 14, 2022, at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow to Serenity Memorial Gardens. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Jeremy Kenneth Schiff. Jeremy Kenneth Schiff, 42, of Midland, died Wednesday, April 6, 2022, in Midland. Graveside service will be held at 1 p.m., April 14, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Dr. Alfred Vardaman is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. John Philip Snyder. John Philip Snyder, 97, of Midland, passed away April 4, 2022. The family will receive guests from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, April 17, 2022, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, April 18, 2022, at Fairview Cemetery in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hello, this is Cindy, reading from the Odessa American for Wednesday, April 13th. Commissioners extend local wildlife disaster by Royal McGregor. Ector County Commissioners voted unanimously Tuesday to extend the local declaration of local disaster related to wildfires. Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes said after Tuesday's meeting, "The declaration doesn't have an end date." Hayes explained the commissioners will have to vote again to end the declaration, but she said that won't happen until after wildfire season is over. "There is no end date to it until we get through the fire season, and then we will put it back on the agenda for it to no longer be in effect," Hayes said. Commissioners previously approved a 90-day burn ban in Ector County on March 22nd. The National Integrated Drought Information System website indicates that Ector County experienced the eighth driest March over the past 128 years. The website also detailed Ector County is facing its fifth driest year to date over the past 128 years. Commissioners also heard a presentation from GCC Permian, LLC, on a request for a tax abatement application in Ector County. GCC Permian, LLC, is asking for a 10-year abatement as it expands its current cement plant, located at 16501 West Murphy Street. The commissioner only heard a presentation about the tax abatement application. They didn't take any action on the matter. Luis Carlos Arias, the vice president for expansion projects for GCC, spoke to commissioners about the expansion at the site in Ector County. Arias said the expansion would include a kiln, roll mill, finish mill, cement storage, raw material storage, and silo. The proposed construction would last about 2 years and could cost between $352 million to $500 million. Commissioner of Precinct 3 Don Stringer asked Arias if operations would continue through construction of the proposed expansion. Arias responded that operations would have to continue throughout construction. Arias said the expansion would lead to 5 to 10 permanent jobs at the cement plant. He said most of those jobs would be in the quarry. Commissioner Precinct 1 Mike Gardner asked Arias the life expectancy of the quarry. Arias said he believes the quarry will last more than 50 years. GCC has 8 cement plants, with 5 in the United States and 3 in Mexico. The 5 cement plants in the U.S. include Odessa, Pueblo, Colorado, Rapid City, South Dakota, Tijeras, New Mexico, and Three Forks, Montana. With the expansion, Arias said he expects the Odessa cement plant to triple its capacity. "This is going to be our biggest plant," Arias said during the commissioner's meeting. "This is going to be our most modernized plant." The commissioners met in executive session for nearly 45 minutes, but no action was taken. Winkler County Airport receives state award by Michael Bauer. For 5 years, Winkler County Airport has been transformed with renovation projects. The airport was recognized for its improvement as it was awarded the Most Improved Airport Award. The award is presented annually by TxDOT to the airport that has seen the most significant improvements thanks to local efforts and initiatives. On Tuesday, State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, joined Winkler County Judge Charles Wolf in a presentation at Winkler County Airport to commemorate the achievement. "This is definitely a day for celebration," Landgraf said. Judge Wolf here from Winkler County has been working for 5 years on this project and have invested $2 million of their own money. And now we're in a state-of-the-art facility for an airport this size, and I'm so proud to see their hard work pay off and be recognized. The project included renovation work on the terminal building, including a new AC system, complete roof replacement and repairs to electrical and sanitation systems. "It's a very significant award to the airport because when we started out, the airport was in pretty dire shape," Wolf said. "So we got rehabilitation on the runways and the taxiways that will allow for safer landing markings. It's improved general aviation in the Winkler County Airport. We've added facilities, which has allowed us to bring in more aircraft out of here and keep our status up at the airport." The project was completed in November 2020. Winkler County also funded the rehabilitation of the airport entrance road, auto parking areas, and the hangar access taxiway. "The significance of the award is that the county has been awarded," project manager Bijan Jamalabad said. "This is the kind that they give every year to a very different, very special airport, rather, that has gone the extra mile to improve the airport, not only with help by TxDOT, but also on their own. They've done tremendous amount of work out here to get the airport to the condition that it is. A few years ago, when you came out to this airport, you wouldn't see this airport being this nice, beautiful, and air-conditioned like it is now. The improvements have helped bring in more aircraft to base the airport and increased revenue and fuel sales. The county and the judge and commissioners and the entire community need to be applauded because of their support," Jamalabad said. "As the oil and gas business in the region, every single day is getting busier and busier, and this airport is a significant help to fly businessmen and people from corporate to access the entire region. More work is expected in the near future, including replacing the existing lights on the runway. Now we're working on the lighting projects," Wolf said. "It should be next year when we get funding. It should be September or October when we get the funding and see if the project gets lit." Quick hits. Falcon Giving Day. University of Texas Permian Basin's 3rd annual Falcon Giving Day is today. Falcon Giving Day is 24 hours dedicated to online giving. The funds directly help students in need by creating scholarships, helping support the Student Emergency Fund, food pantry, and more. The goal this year is to have 300 people donate. No donation is too small, whether you give $5 or $500. Exemption status. Residential homestead, over 65, and disability exemptions are granted to owners on their principal residence. These exemptions reduce the amount of tax a property owner pays. When a property owner no longer qualifies for one of these exemptions, the law requires them to notify the appraisal district. When the appraisal district discovers that a property owner no longer qualifies for an exemption, we are required to back assess for up to 5 years the amount that escaped taxation because of the invalid exemption. In order to avoid these back assessments, you should contact the appraisal district as soon as the exemption status changes. The same is true for properties receiving the special agricultural appraisal. The deadline to notify the appraisal district when the property use changes from agricultural is April 30th. These properties may be subject to a rollback tax. If you have changed your principal residence, contact the appraisal district office at 1301 East 8th Street or call 432-332-6834. Shop and Share. United Supermarkets and Market Street, Odessa and Midland, has recently started a Shop and Share fundraiser for the Share organization in honor of Autism Awareness Month. To donate to Share, add any amount of money to the grocery bill at checkout. For more information, visit sharewtx.org. Tourism Meeting. Discover Odessa has scheduled a tourism development meeting from 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Thursday at the Holiday Inn, 5275 East 42nd Street. Wesley Burnett will appear as a guest speaker. To RSVP, email Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at discoverodessa.org. For more information, visit discoverodessa.org. MC Easter Egg Hunt. Midland College Pre-K Academy has scheduled an Easter Egg Hunt from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Thursday at the MC Main Campus, 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland, on the grassy quad area near the Hodge Carillion Tower in front of the Faskin Learning Resource Center. Visit midland.edu. Easter Craft. The Ector County Library Children's Department has scheduled Easter Craft at 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday at the Library Activity Room in the basement, 321 West 5th Street. Easter Egg Hunt. 828 Company's third annual Easter Egg Hunt has been scheduled for Thursday at the Ward County Soccer Fields on 10th Street and Maple Street, Monahans. Gates open at 5:30 p.m. and hunt begins at 6:30 p.m. Family Fun Run. Midland Rockhounds, 5514 Champions Drive, Midland, has scheduled a family fun run from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Thursday at the ballpark. There will be 1, 2, and 3 mile route options. Run, walk, or jog any distance with water aid station at 1.5 mile. Stay and hang out afterwards and enjoy a Rockhounds baseball game with us at a discounted price of only $8. $5 for kids. For children 3 and under are free. Splash pad and playground are open. There will also be plenty of food and beverage options with drinks half off. Authors at the Ector. Odessa Arts will present the third installment of Authors featuring the Go-Go's bassist and recent inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Kathy Valentine, at 7 p.m. Thursday at the Ector County Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue. For tickets, theector.com. Holy Week Events. Grace Presbyterian Church, 2801 North Garfield Street, Midland, has scheduled Holy Week events through Sunday. Thursday, 7 p.m., Maundy Thursday in the Fellowship Hall. Friday, 7 p.m., Good Friday Worship in the Sanctuary. Sunday, 9:30 a.m., Breakfast followed by Easter Egg Hunt for Children, Lenten Cross Before Worship. bring flowers from home or use those provided. 11 a.m. Easter Sunday worship with communion. For more information, call 432-684-6542 or visit gracemidlandtx.org. City closure for Good Friday. City of Odessa offices will be closed Friday in observance of Good Friday. Customers with rollout carts, normally serviced on Friday, can expect service Thursday. Carts normally serviced on Thursday will be serviced today. To avoid an overflowing accumulation of trash and debris in dumpsters, citizens are asked to recycle items at the Odessa Recycle Center, 816 West 42nd Street. Drop-off windows for cardboard, plastics, paper, aluminum, and tin cans are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Trash, debris, and bulky items piled next to the alley dumpsters is illegal and prevents the solid waste trucks from being able to pick up the containers when service resumes. During the holiday period, city trash receptacles should be reserved for perishable items only. Community Good Friday Service. Connection Christian Church of Odessa has scheduled a Community Good Friday service from noon to 12:45 p.m. Friday at Memorial Gardens Park, 4730 East 42nd Street. Viewing of the Passion of the Christ. Spirit and Truth Church, 3102 University Boulevard, has scheduled viewing of the Passion of the Christ Friday. Hot dogs and trimmings will be served at 6:30 p.m., followed by the movie at 7 p.m. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, call 432-553-3522. Volunteers needed. Medical Center Hospital is in need of volunteers for its adult volunteer program. Assignments vary. To learn more, call 432-640-2249 or visit mchodessa.com/community/volunteer-services. Motor Mayhem Car Show and Bike Event. Benefit has been scheduled at 9 a.m. Saturday at Stonegate Fellowship, 4240 Preston Smith Road. There will be awards presented, raffles, and more. All proceeds will go towards paying off medical expenses for Anne-Marie Grandal, 22, single mom of two and the founder of Sound Deep. Grandal has a 6.9-centimeter tumor on her heart that is rapidly growing and is scheduled to have open-heart surgery next month. Pet Shot Clinic. The Odessa Animal Shelter, 910 West 42nd Street, has scheduled a shot clinic from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. Package prices, DAPP, Bordetella, and rabies are $35, and FVRCP, FELV, and rabies are $35. Individual prices, microchips are $5, DAPP is $15, Bordetella is $15, FVRCP is $15, FELV is $18 and rabies is $15. Cash only. Amerigroup and Texas Tech Physicians launch pregnancy care program. Amerigroup Texas, one of the state's largest coordinators of managed health care, has joined with Texas Tech Physicians to launch a prenatal care support program for expecting parents in the Permian Basin. The program, known as Supportive Pregnancy Care, is offered by March of Dimes and provides expecting parents in West Texas with access to clinical care from licensed professionals, education from prenatal experts, and social support from other participants. Amerigroup Texas has remained committed to identifying alarming disparities and addressing them head-on with innovative solutions that both save and improve lives, Dr. Seeley Thomas, Amerigroup Texas Medical Director, said in a news release. Our collaboration with Texas Tech Physicians and March of Dimes to expand West Texans' access to effective and impactful resources will not only improve maternal infant health equity, but also will have a profound impact on families and communities. The U.S. has the highest maternal death rate among developed nations for childbirth, and Texas ranks behind most states in maternal mortality. The 2020 March of Dimes report card shows that Texas' preterm birth rate rose again for the fifth year in a row, earning the state a D grade. Nationwide, two babies die every hour, and two women die from pregnancy complications every day. A pilot study conducted by March of Dimes concluded that when compared to patients receiving traditional prenatal care, supportive pregnancy care participants were 68% more likely to attend postpartum visits and 84% more likely to initiate breastfeeding at delivery. Additionally, group prenatal care has demonstrated a 33% reduction of premature births overall and has demonstrated a reduction in health inequities, reducing premature births among Black women by 41% or more. The maternal and infant health crisis facing our country disproportionately impacts pregnant people and babies of color, said Amy Johnson Rubio, maternal and child health director at March of Dimes. Better access to quality care for birthing people and greater support before, during, and after pregnancy makes a huge difference. We are thrilled to partner with Amerigroup and Texas Tech Physicians on supportive pregnancy care, which can help break down some of the barriers to care encountered during pregnancy and create better health outcomes. Supportive pregnancy care sessions give pregnant people more time with their health care providers than they normally would have during conventional prenatal checkups. And through the group setting, soon-to-be parents receive prenatal care and education as well as vital social and emotional support from other participants. The program connects groups of 8 through 12 participants with two health care professionals who facilitate sessions that last up to 2 hours each. Participants get physical assessments and vital signs readings, and they participate in educational discussions that cover topics ranging from labor and delivery to mindfulness and relaxation. A licensed obstetric provider also meets individually with participants during each session to perform a physical assessment and discuss specific concerns. Reducing treatable and preventable pregnancy-related issues with these kinds of collaborative efforts provides essential support for soon-to-be parents, said Dr. Michael Galloway, Regional Department Chair of the Department of OBGYN for Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. In addition to plugging people into a great network of peers and providers, these programs help identify health issues early in a pregnancy and get them treated before they threaten the health of parents or babies. By helping people have healthier pregnancies, this initiative will save lives. More than 50 locations across 30 states are currently offering March of Dimes supportive pregnancy care programs to help improve birth experiences and maternal infant health outcomes. Texas Tech Physicians is currently enrolling participants for supportive pregnancy care programs that will begin in 6 to 8 weeks. For more information or to enroll in the program, contact Texas Tech Physicians at 432-703-5510. Lamisa Mann has bond revoked. A Lamisa Mann scheduled to go to trial next month in connection with a fatal crash had his bond revoked Monday by Ector County District Court Judge Justin Lowe. Gerardo Cardoza was indicted in March 2019 on a charge of accident involving death and was released from custody after posting a $50,000 bond. On March 25th, the Ector County District Attorney's Office filed a motion to revoke that bond, alleging Cardoza was convicted of driving while intoxicated in Ward County in August 2021. Cardoza is scheduled to go to trial May 2nd in the death of Manuel Reyes, a 78-year-old Odessan who was struck and killed while walking in a crosswalk at 8th Street and Golder Avenue around 4 a.m. March 24, 2018. Court documents indicate authorities believe Cardoza was driving the vehicle that struck Reyes and that he left the scene without helping Reyes and without providing his name, address, insurance information, or vehicle information. Cardoza's bond is now set at $250,000. Odessa woman indicted in stabbing. A 24-year-old Odessa woman accused of stabbing her boyfriend twice last June was arrested April 8th after an Ector County grand jury indicted her on an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon charge. Alexis Alejandra Soto's boyfriend told an Ector County Sheriff's Office deputy that she and Soto had been arguing over finances in the 9300 block of West 25th Street when she took a 3-inch-long pocket knife and stabbed him in the thigh and buttocks. The grand jury indicted her March 30th. Valentine of the Go-Go's to be at Ector Theater by Michael Bauer. Musician and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Kathy Valentine has traveled throughout the country, performing on tours with the Go-Go's and other music groups. But next week will be her first time coming to Odessa for an event. Valentine, along with the other members of the Go-Go's, including Belinda Carlisle, Charlotte Caffey, Gina Schock, and Jane Wiedlin, were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year. The band has made history as the only female rock group to write and play their own music and land number one on the music charts. Now, Odessans will get a chance to hear from the famous musician at 7 p.m. Thursday at the Ector Theater, where she will discuss her memoir, All I Ever Wanted, with Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm and take questions from the audience. The event was originally planned to take place in 2020, but had to be rescheduled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The pandemic wiped out everything, so all my book promotions went out the window, Valentine said in a phone interview. I'm happy that some of it has come back. The event at the Ector Theater for Odessa Arts was one that came back, and I was really happy because they approached me through my publisher at University of Texas Press. They seemed to have a good relationship. It was highly recommended that this would be something that I would enjoy. I can pick and choose what I do, and this is something that felt like it would be a little bit different because it's in a theater and I'm making a presentation, which is a background presentation of photos and everything. Valentine, who is known for playing bass for the famous pop punk band, has maintained a career in music through songwriting, recording, performing, and touring. Valentine currently resides in Austin, where she has spent the majority of her life, but because her dad is from Lubbock, she spent a lot of time out in West Texas. I spent a lot of my childhood in the Panhandle, and I have driven out to the Permian Basin, Valentine said. I'd been to Marfa and Alpine and Marathon, that trio of towns. I haven't spent much time in Odessa, so I'm looking forward to it. Her book, which was published by UT Press, was released 2 years ago during the early days of the pandemic. It was released right as the pandemic started, which isn't great for a first-time author, Valentine said. However, since then, she says her book has been well-received and was just recently released in England. I'm happy, Valentine said. It has done exceedingly well. I'm proud of it, and I'm getting wonderful responses from readers. Her book is described as a story of a roller coaster ride of drugs, sex, and music, and a story of what it takes to find success and find oneself even when everything is crashing down. She said it took about 3 years to write the memoir, which included an 8-month sabbatical away from writing. Valentine joined the Go-Go's when they formed in Los Angeles in the punk rock scene in 1978. The quintet's debut album, Beauty and the Beat, topped the Billboard album chart, which was a first for an all-female band, writing their own material and playing their own instruments. Valentine said growing up in the 70s meant there were no shortages of musical influence. Everyone from ZZ Top to the Rolling Stones to the Beatles, she said. I was just into rock and roll, David Bowie and all the music of the 70s and late 60s, I would say, helped influence me. But my taste in music is quite broad. I enjoy jazz and hip-hop. I grew up in Austin, where there were some good country and a lot of blues. I think for me, as a musician, I'm informed by just all good music, including stuff from the radio when I was young, like Motown and R&B. The influences are part of everything. Fame and success would follow Valentine and the Go-Go's, but there would also be lows as well. The group would break up in 1985 before reforming in 1990, and then again in 1995, and again from 1999 to today. The band recently finished a tour in March. I joined when I was 21, Valentine said. We made an album when I was 22. We were at the top of the charts a year later. It was a lot of success at a very young age. It was exciting. However, Valentine said none of them were very mature or evolved as humans at the time. We weren't the most compassionate people and didn't have the greatest communication skills, Valentine said. It was a lot of success at a young age, and it ended up we broke up in 1985 and got back together in 1990, and have worked on and off since 1990 and 1995. But Valentine says they still feel like a family. It is people that you know that will always be in your life, that you don't always see eye to eye with, or don't always get along with, but you have a bond, because there's a lot of shared history. We also made some great timeless music that I'm really proud of. It's a very special band. What we do endures over generations across time, and that's something to be proud of. When the Go-Go's were honored at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year, it was an accomplishment she and her other band members wouldn't forget. It was a really fun, exciting night, Valentine said. We were surrounded by a lot of very well-known and beloved people in music, from Paul McCartney to Carole King. It was very exciting to be in the midst of all that. She also described the induction as a completion. It felt like there's no, what else would we accomplish, Valentine said. The band isn't really active anymore, so it was a nice way to close things out. It felt like the end of a story that started a long time ago. Valentine says that when it comes to creativity and music, inspiration can come from anywhere. To be creative, you're always receptive to what inspires you, Valentine said. It can be anything. Inspiration, if you're receptive and open to it, you can find it in conversations. You can find it in reading something. It can be getting an idea. It can be thinking or something on the radio. Inspiration can be anywhere. So the obstacle, I think, with creativity is to actually put in the time and effort and to finish and complete and make something that you're satisfied with. Ham talked about his excitement in being able to bring in Valentine after a 2-year delay. I don't think we've ever had a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here, so that in itself is very exciting, he said. Personally, I grew up listening to the Go-Go's, and so being able to sit 5 feet from someone that I listened to and enjoyed throughout my life is the icing on the cake of how amazing my job is. Ham also encourages local musicians to come out to the event. It's going to be really exciting talking to her, but mostly I want to encourage our local musicians who are trying to find a way to make it into the business to come out and listen to her, because she has some words of wisdom of how to put things together and make it in the music business, Ham said. We will offer complimentary tickets to any local musician who will sign up to the Permian Basin Artists Registry, which is on our website, which allows us to put all of these musicians in touch with people who are in need of a band for a fundraiser or a party. If You Go, authors at the Ector County with Kathy Valentine, 7 p.m. April 14th, Ector Theater. to purchase tickets online, tinyurl.com/485-HWANV. Raise Your Hand Texas Trustees Advocates Program holds first training session. Raise Your Hand Texas and Ector County ISD kicked off the inaugural Raise Your Hand Texas Trustee Advocates Program in Odessa with an initial on-site training session for school board leaders and Superintendent of Schools Scott Murray. This new Raise Your Hand Texas initiative will train Texas school districts and their locally elected trustees to educate, engage, and activate their school districts and local communities to amplify their voices in state public education policy and advocacy. There's considerable appetite and interest from across our state in building a meaningful advocacy program that brings together schools and local communities to educate and advocate in support of public education, Libby Cohen, Raise Your Hand Texas Director of Advocacy and Outreach, said in the release. Over the course of the innovative inaugural 18-month fellowship, trustee advocates will learn to build a local public education advocacy network that encourages community connectedness and influences state legislative outcomes. Trustees and superintendents will have the opportunity to learn and build relationships with others across Texas as well. The in-district launch of the program locally brings together school board and district leadership for a program overview and training session. Ector County ISD is committed to being a district of leaders and continuous learners, Murray said. The Raise Your Hand Texas Trustees Advocates Program fits neatly into both of those commitments. Our trustees and I will learn much about carrying the news and the needs of our school district and our community to the state level and beyond. Trustees are elected to be the voice of their district, and this intensive training will help make their voice stronger in ways that can influence positive change. Supporting and strengthening our schools takes all of us, and the Trustee Advocates Program will help equip these local leaders to amplify the voices of their communities at the Capitol, said Missy Bender, trustee in residence and regional advocacy director for Raise Your Hand Texas. 27 school districts from all regions of the state applied, and Raise Your Hand Texas leadership selected 9 school districts through the application and interview process. The Trustee Advocates Program is issue-based and nonpartisan. The program will be held in accordance with the Open Meetings Act as a Texas Education Agency registered provider of continuing education. Raise Your Hand Texas will award continuing education credit to participants for the hours spent in training.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.